This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. It's going to be a super great day today, and already has been. I've been here talking to Butch Campbell for the last 30 minutes and really having a good time catching up on things. And we want to let you know that this portion of his show, we're talking about Butch Campbell's show, is brought to you by At Home Care. And if you're having trouble keeping up with all your responsibilities inside your home, and there's a possibility that you may have to leave, well, listen to this. You don't have to. Melissa Warren started At Home Care some time ago, and they go in and take care of those 24/7 for you. You don't have to worry about it at all, and you can just, if you have errands to run, they'll do that for you. And if that sounds great, give them a call at 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com, or go over to their place of business. It's 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. Butch, it's always good to see you. You're one of my more fun people. I really like going back and talking about the old times and just enjoying your company. And of course, you're quite a guy. I mean, you're always in the limelight, no matter where you go.
Well, you know, you don't try to be, but I enjoy listening to your show. You've done a good job with this show. It has a very large listening audience, and I think everybody that I've talked to that listens to it has really enjoyed it, and you have such a variety of people as your guest on, and it makes a lot of difference, particularly for those of us, I guess, maybe that have been around Murfreesboro for a long time, but newcomers are learning things as well.
Yeah, they're learning how special this place was and still is. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about education. And you were able to be present when an honor was given at Walter Hill just recently.
I was, Truman. Today, in fact, when I retired there 3 years ago, they established what they called the Butch Campbell Award.
All right.
And it is given to a fifth grade student. And it really doesn't have a lot to do with academics. It has more to do with behavior, manners, getting along with other people, getting along with adults,
I love that.
And that sort of thing. And it's a very good award, and I was fortunate, was invited back out this morning and helped to give the award. The fifth grade teachers nominated three students, and then there was a committee set up and went through all of the background of the students and what they had done and how they behaved in school and so forth, and picked out a winner. And this year it was Kamonte Harper.
All right.
He started there in first grade with Mr. McKnight, and then went to Ms. Brockwell in second, and Pulowski in high, and Ms. Warren now. And there were two others that were nominated. One, Chase Bowes, I believe it is, and Felicia Wartenberg, I think. If I have the names right, I hope I do. And they had a very nice thing this morning. They recognized a lot of students for academic success, honor roll, principals lists, all sorts of things. And then they had, after that, beginning at 9 o'clock, they have what we used to call Superstar Day. And we always got a company to come in with these large inflatable slides and bouncing things and all that, and let the students go outside for a couple of hours by different grade levels and spend the day and then have a sack lunch. And weather was certainly good today, and I'm sure they all had a good time.
Oh, I know they did. And I bet you knew all three of the kids that were nominated.
I did not remember one of them. I did remember Kamonte when he started, because I remember being in Mr. McKnight's room during that time. So it was a good time, and I got to see a few of the teachers and talk to them. Several of the students came up and spoke, which always makes you feel good when they do that.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing like that. I mean, the camaraderie, it never leaves. But back when you were the principal there, I remember it was a really a fun school. and all the kids there treated all the teachers and you with respect, and it was just when it's regimented up to a point, but yet it's still where you can still have fun and enjoy school. That's the perfect scenario. And you guys, and I say from the old school, but there's so many of the principals here that became such a major part of the communities where they served. It was just a special time.
Well, it was. It was a special time, and it's a time that any time you're dealing with young people, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter where it is or what you're doing, schools in particular, there are no 2 days alike. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that young people have temptations, and they have to go through things, and the temptations that they have today, as you well know from law enforcement, and we all can read in the paper and see on the news, the temptations that young people have today are tremendous compared to what you and I had 40, 50 years ago when we were in school. It's just so much more. And for them to have a good home life and for them to have good people and teachers working with them throughout the day, it means an awful lot to them, and it helps them a lot. Yeah. And we get some in the education profession that kind of go by the wayside. We get some teachers that don't always behave and do what they're supposed to do.
Unfortunately, that's everywhere.
That is true, and it doesn't matter whether it's teachers, law enforcement, communications, ministers, you know, it happens a lot, and it's unfortunate that it does, but it does, and we just have to do the best we can do and get by it.
One thing we don't ever want to do is put everybody in the same basket, because just as we've seen, some people have made mistakes, and just recently have made mistakes, not only in the school system, but almost in any walk of life. And you can't judge everybody by mistakes somebody makes that's unusual.
I agree with you 100%, because it's, you know, you don't judge a whole basket of apples
right.
because you've got one that's got a bad spot on it.
Right.
The whole basket's not good.
But you got to get rid of the one that's got the bad spot.
That's right. So you do away with that, and you continue then to use the good ones. Mm-hmm. And that's the same way with, I don't care whether it's students or adults, mm-hmm. it's the same way. And just because it happens to one doesn't mean it's going to happen to a whole lot of others.
When you were talking earlier, and before we went on the air, you were talking about the honor that you were giving away. And I don't know why, but in my mind, I was seeing maybe you were giving one of the kids who was a clock watcher, who was keeping up with the time. For some reason, when I get you on my mind, I start thinking about the clock, and I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know what it is either. Most of the time, that's good, but hey, there are mistakes made there just like there are anywhere else.
I tell you what, your mistakes are far and few between, because you do a great job over here. Most people know you go to the basketball game, and you can see Butch sitting down at the table, and he keeps up with the clock and has a great rapport with everybody. And one group, of course, you have to have a great rapport with the coaches. That goes without saying, but you have to also have a great rapport with the referees, and you guys really do work together as a team.
We do. There we have some good officials that mm-hmm. come to Middle during basketball, and it's always good to see them and talk to them. Tom Eads, who's one of my favorites, I guess because Tom was working high school basketball when I was. He was from McMinnville and has now gone and done very well. In fact, worked the semifinals this year of the NCAA tournament, worked the finals last year. But I talked to him about 2 weeks ago and invited him to an honor that I received through the TSSAA, which was right after the basketball season was over. But he was on his way down to the Keys for a few days, and I don't blame him for that. I'd have gone, too, after his long season. We talked when Russ was here before. Mm-hmm. It's a long season for some of those people.
Oh, it is. It really is. And we're talking about length. So many of you that have led our schools, and it's one of the most important jobs that you can have in a community, is be over one of their community schools, because you're the one that everybody goes to when there seems to be a problem. But we're starting to lose a little bit of that, whereas as we have all these major schools that prop up that take care of a number of communities rather than one, do you see the ability to be able to keep a relationship within that school changing any? And I'm talking about with the students and the parents.
With the community part of it?
Right.
Well, I think today we've still got that capability, and we certainly need to take advantage of it as much as we can. Mm-hmm. You may not live in the community, but at least to be part of it. And when most of your students come from, it's not like the neighborhood schools like you and I grew up, Mitchell, right. Nielsen, Hopgood, and in the city system, but they are fairly close in proximity as far as distance goes. And it needs to be a lot of that good old time getting together and having a good time and respecting one another and doing the things that can be done. And I think you can still have community input. The community that you're serving may be a little bit larger in some instances, particularly when you get to middle school and high school, because the enrollment is so much larger. But it's still easy, or can be done. And I think most of the principals in the city, and I'll say the county too, particularly in the county, because they cover a larger area with the high schools and the middle schools. Mm-hmm. I think they work to do that.
Oh, I think they do too. But we're starting to see a changing of the guard, you might say.
We are.
We have lost an enormous amount of talent around here in the last few years. And, of course, we're talking about you. And then, of course, everybody at Last Cash is the first thing they would start hollering would be Larry Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a legend there. And I keep waiting for them to name the Walter Hill Bridge after you. But they seem to be dragging their feet a little bit out there. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe you need to talk to Larry and see how
and
you
see
can
how
pull
done.
That off. Yeah.
Well, you know, he says he's the only person that has a gym named after him. Because in the floor,
I don't know
the letters,
Jimmy Stewart, is that who you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about Larry. In the letters, Las Casas Elementary School mm-hmm. is the same as, is his middle name Larry? Larry Earl Stewart.
Uh-huh, that, yeah.
And he says that because the LES is on that floor, that gym was named after him because
I never thought about that.
Oh, it's true. If he hadn't told you about it, ask him. He'll tell you. He liable to call him fuss, but not today. But, yeah, he does say that. And I guess it's true.
Well, now, you know, we've lost the elder statesman in Smyrna, Bud Riggs.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another one.
Boy, there's a legend.
Oh, gosh,
man,
yes.
Alive.
There'll never be another Bud
no,
Riggs, no matter what's going on. And he meant so much to Smyrna. And I have so many friends that when we start talking about the old times, it always goes back to Bud, no matter what's going on. But we've lost Sue Parsley and Jane Harrell in Christiana.
Yeah.
Rhonda Holton in Eagleville. And Mike Swanson, who was at Buck Cannon.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about Larry. And now one of my really good friends from the county, we're losing Harry Gill, which is really, I talked to Harry the other day. You know, he's going to be on our show Monday.
Well, good.
And we're going to talk a little bit about his career and what his future is looking like. And, you know, there are sometimes you see people when they leave an office that they're almost irreplaceable. And I know Don Odom is going to do a good job. And
I am
really tickled to death
yeah, I am too.
That he got that appointment. But sometimes, just like you have your own way of taking care of Walter Hill. And each person has that particular ability to do things that nobody else does. And sometimes it's extremely hard to replace that without leaving a void of some type.
Oh, sure it is. And there would be some, you know, I would not have wanted to be the person to walk in as principal behind Bud Riggs, Larry Stewart, people that had been there for so long in those capacities, because mm-hmm. it's just, you know, whoever comes in is not going to do it the same way. And there are going to be some changes made. But it's tough to do that.
It's an uphill climb. And I know when you left, you probably had a uneasy feeling of some type that you were leaving behind something that had been your life for a long time. And you knew the responsibilities and you loved all the kids and all the teachers. That's hard to do. It's hard to make that decision. And I know Harry's going through that now, and so have so many others that have meant so much to our communities.
I think any job that you're in for a long time and you have so much contact with people, mm-hmm. within that particular job, and then when you leave it, you certainly had that uneasy feeling. You had the same feeling when you left the sheriff's department.
You
know,
you miss the people.
You do, and you still have friends there, mm-hmm. and you know, you still like to just talk. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you want to do anything to change the way things are going on in the sheriff's department, because that's not it. But you just like to talk and see those friends again and be able to sit down and have a Coke with them or just shoot the bull and, you know, reminisce old times. That's fun, too.
Well, to be a good leader like you were, you have to respect each other, and you have to have a rapport with those individuals that is similar to yours, because, as you know, and you just mentioned it, when somebody comes in as the new principal at Walter Hill, everything is going to change, because
sure.
they're going to do their job entirely different from yours, even though the responsibilities are very similar.
And it's difficult. It was difficult for me to let it go. It really was. Not because I didn't think that K. Martin was going to do a good job. It wasn't that. But you still just have the concerns about the students that are there, you know. Are they still getting the same sit down and talk to, like I used to do with them, you know, if they were in trouble or something? And I'm sure that they are. And are teachers happy? Is everybody working well together? And you still have those concerns, but it's not your job to try to judge whether or not the person that took your place is doing right or wrong. Because, like you say, they're not going to do it the same. I didn't do it the same way that Roger Brewington did it. And that was it.
No, you're
know?
Pretty close.
Well, I don't know. There were some occurrences on the front porch, I think, that I never had to get involved in a whole lot.
He was pretty tough, wasn't he?
He was tough. He was very tough. I understand he was.
But I have heard people use that same term for you when you were at Walter Hill, that you were a disciplinarian and you made sure that every... Well, Brian is over here shaking his head. You want to come over here, Brian?
Come on, Brian, and jump into this. He was there.
It's easy to go over and shake uh-huh. your head without getting into the conversation.
Well, I tried to be a disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm. You were a disciplinarian.
I wanted young people. I wanted those students to be able to get more out of school than just the academics, because there are things in life that we all have to do. Manners, dress, appearance, how you relate one to another. Those things are very important. And you have seen people that have not gotten jobs because of those characteristics that they didn't have. And you may have had some that you were looking at to hire, but you couldn't. You just could not do it because of that. Now, there's that old school. It is old school a little bit. But, you know, that old school still means an awful lot today to an employer. When a young person goes,
of course it does,
and looks at,
and it's important for them to learn that while they're
exactly
still
right.
in school.
I have the opportunity to have been invited to talk to the sixth grade graduation group next Wednesday at across the street at Black Fox.
Oh wow!
And that's one of the things that I'm certainly going to emphasize. You know, because it is. Yes sir and no sir. It's not done as much today as what we did. Maybe it's not expected as much, but I guarantee you any employer will appreciate the yes or the no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and the politeness and the well dress and all the sort of things that you need to do in order to be successful.
Have you ever seen a time when the way things used to be in the school system and the new way that they're looking to prepare for the future in education, have you ever seen it clash as much as it is right now, as far as what they're trying to change in the schools and maybe even the relationship between parents and teachers and principals and things like that?
Probably not. You haven't seen, you know, and even now the legislature has passed a law saying that parents have got to sign an agreement that they're doing, you know, that should not have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have to force parents to make sure their child's done their homework or they get to bed on time and they get a good breakfast and all the other things that they need before they come to school. We ought not to legislate that.
No.
You know, you can't, you don't need to legislate ethics and behavior. You know, mom and dad ought to do that anyway, but of course, we have a lot of diversified families today, and some of that goes on. We were talking earlier, and we were talking just now about dress and all.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a lot of the Madden trial on TV last week that mm-hmm. we had at the courthouse.
Yes, I watched part of it.
I did not see one attorney with a pair of baggy pants on and a pullover shirt. Every attorney had on a coat and tie mm-hmm. and a suit. Now, what does that tell you?
Well, they're dressed responsibly.
And
the respect is there. And if you don't have respect in the courtroom, you won't have it anywhere.
That's right.
But I want to tell you, and I don't want to get into any of the specifics. Of course, Don Ashe always does a tremendous job as judge in Rutherford County. And Bill Weitzel and Paul Newman, just absolutely superb in the prosecution. People don't realize in the last 30 years, and actually the last 40 years, we have had the two best district attorneys in the state of Tennessee, and that's Guy Dotson and Bill Weitzel. I mean, the sharpest minds of anybody I have ever seen. And then you get down to the witnesses, and let me tell you, Rick Enzel and his lady raiders and ex-lady raiders were... I was so proud to listen to them and how they were able to relate back to the jury. I mean, so professional, so calm, and of course, emotion flowed there also.
Sure, sure it did.
But I was so proud, and I know that all the people in this community, if they saw it, I know they felt the same way I did.
Well, they should have, and that goes back to the respect that those players have for those coaches.
Right.
And I would say most every coach at that university would be in that boat. Certainly the basketball and the football and track, my goodness. If you can't respect Dean Hayes for all the stuff he knows,
oh,
and
he's
the way
a
he
legend.
Behaves, hey, more than a legend, you know. And it really goes back, and it makes a difference, and people notice that today. I'm not going to say more than they used to, but maybe a little bit more, because maybe it's not as common today as it was 40 years ago.
Well, I know one thing. In all the years that I was in the job that I was in, all the players that we came in contact with in that business had a tremendous amount of respect for all of their coaches. It didn't matter which sport it was. And that's one thing that we can go all the way back to when you and I were kids.
Sure.
And it seems like it's always followed that path. But I was going back to today, if you were still principal at Walter Hill, and some of the guidelines that are placed upon teachers and principals, people who are educators and students, and primarily students, how would you try to relate that back to some of our legislators are passing some of these, what I would call uncalled for rules and regulations as it pertains to education?
Well, I think I would relate back to them the same way I have while I was principal and since I've been principal. Mm-hmm. As a member of the city school board, I have related some of those back to our legislators, the ones that represent us, Jim Tracy,
right.
Joe Carr, Womack, Sparks, and I've had conversations with them. And mm-hmm. most every time, it's pretty much in the same thought that they have, you know. You just have to remember that people are people,
Right.
And we need guidelines. We've always had guidelines. We've mm-hmm. all had rules and regulations.
Right.
Whether we like them or not, mm-hmm. you know, and it doesn't make any difference. But those are the rules and those are the laws of the land, and we need to abide by those laws to the best of our ability. Now, are we going to drive too fast sometimes? Sure we are. Mm-hmm. Sure we are. I used to use that as an example. If two kids were brought to the office and, you know, one said, well, he did it. Well, I only did it because he did. Mm-hmm. And my response would be, okay, I go home this afternoon and we know the speed limit on 231 is 45 miles an hour and I'm doing 65. Mm-hmm. And there is a car in front of me that's going faster than me. And that officer pulls me over and cites me for driving too fast. And I say, but what about the person in front? Well, I'm sorry. I just didn't get that one. Well, that's part of the consequences that we have. Whether you're the one that's the first or you're the one that's the last, if you're caught doing wrong, you're caught doing wrong, and you just have to go with it.
Do you think the testing system that they have put on the education system is a fair system? And can you compare each student the same as the system seems to be doing?
You're talking about testing for students.
Right. Which almost is also testing for the teachers also,
that
because
is.
They're graded on that.
There are.
And it almost, I don't know if you remember, but I think back some time ago in Florida, they had a number of teachers that were supposedly caught doing the test, cheating with the students. And now that has, that's another thing that's been a part of it, a seed that's formulated this. Is the fact that now, once you give the test, then that's sent off to a private company, and then they, in turn, are looking basically at the integrity of the teachers.
Mm-hmm. You're
is
right.
Is that not correct?
That's right. That's right.
And the taxpayers are paying for that.
Our testing today for students, I think, is a little bit more vigorous than what it was years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I go back constantly to that, and we both do on times when we were in school. But I think part of that is because of certainly the technology that we've got today that we didn't have years ago, the competitiveness maybe that we have. We're teaching students in third grade now what they used to be taught in fifth grade.
Right.
And I think part of that is because in the state of Tennessee that we have been lagging behind somewhat down through the years. I remember Gary Nixon, who is now with the Department of Education,
mm-hmm.
was principal out at Blackman High School, spoke to the city school board and told us before the standards were changed that they were going to be changed and why.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why was because we were not providing our students what they needed to do to be able to compete with the other people in the country, other students, and getting some of the better paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you still got to have those people that can dig the water line. You still got to have the ones that can operate the backhoe and the bulldozer. But, hey, I couldn't operate a backhoe.
Neither could I.
Or a bulldozer and make that blade where I'm going to level that ground out. Well, I wouldn't have any way in the world, I don't think. But they've got to learn to be able to do that too, just like you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they've got to have a college degree, but they've got to have the training to get it done.
Can't we address that in the K through 12 or what they call L high anymore?
I think we can. I think we can. I think sometimes when we have taken out some of the vocational aspects of secondary education, we've lost some of that.
Can't we grade that or change the system accordingly to fit the particular abilities of those type students who are probably not really wanting to go into a higher education type system?
We could.
Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back with that.
Okay.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Project Help.
Those are the children of Project Help. Saddle Up for Project Help will be held Thursday, July 26th at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Project Help, Rutherford County's only center-based early intervention preschool program. To sponsor Saddle Up, buy tickets or learn more about Project Help, call 898-2458 or visit mtsu.edu/Project Help.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
If you're planning to buy a home, choose a professional that will look out for you. Ann Hoke & Associates has a proven track record of helping guide clients through the home buying experience. Whether buying your first home, moving up, downsizing, or investing, Ann's team will help you do it right. When it's your time to buy or sell, just ask Ann.
This is Ann Hoke of Keller Williams Realty. I would love to personally talk with you. Call me today at 397-4024. Sell faster and buy smarter with Ann Hoke and Associates.
Let's check those Good Neighbor events. On hot days, fans and air conditioners actually do save lives. If you need one, call the Cool Aid Program. Dwight Ogleton is there to help you. Or if you'd like to donate a fan or an air conditioner or some money to purchase one, you can also contact Dwight Ogleton. His number is 818-2459. And why don't you get some good, healthy exercise and walk the Greenway? In fact, sign up for the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's Greenway 100, where you walk 100 miles between now and May 19th of next year. For information, call the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department at 893-2141. And Dan Whittle's photo exhibit at the Art Center of Cannon County will be May 25th through June the 30th. That's in the Marley Burger Gallery. Oh yes, the International Folk Fest will be in town, June the 10th through the 17th. Go to our website, WGNSradio.com, and click on Local Events for all the locations. Locally grown fresh farm produce every Tuesday and Friday mornings from 7 until noon at the Farmer's Market. That's over at the Lane Agri Park. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miaton, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
This Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through 28th, the Murfreesboro Noon Exchange Club presents the 4th Annual Healing Field, Flags of Remembrance, on Medical Center Parkway next to Belk. You can sponsor a flag in memory or in honor of any hero in your life for just $30 by calling 615-641-0121. Make this Memorial Day meaningful by sponsoring or visiting this year's Healing Field.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Mr. Butch Campbell. It's his show today. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Gordon Ralston Photography at 315 Hickerson Drive. That's right here in Murfreesboro. And you can reach them at 396-8776 or pull them up on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston looks forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. And right now, they have a Truman Jones special. and it's a business portrait, and that's now through June the 30th. They have a headshot session and retouched image on CD, regular price $135, and you mentioned the Truman Show, and you get a special for $79. Also, they're doing a benefit for the Beasley Animal Foundation at Kelton's Hardware and Pets on Pet Day, Saturday, May the 19th. You can receive a free 5x7 of your dog or of your family with your pet for any monetary donation to the Beasley Animal Foundation. Call Gordon Ralston Photography at 396-8776 for more information. Now,
I want to jump in here for a minute.
Yeah.
I want your permission to do this.
Yeah,
okay?
Fire in.
I want to turn this thing around a little bit.
Wait a minute. You haven't answered my other question yet.
We'll get back to it in a few minutes. There are a lot of people that listen to your show that don't know who Truman Jones is.
I don't know who Truman
Jones
is.
Well, try to think about who Truman might be.
Mm-hmm.
You were in law enforcement for how many years?
Let me think. 72, about 38 years.
Okay.
A little over 38 years.
And you grew up in?
Right here in Rutherford County.
Rutherford County.
On the Kittrell side.
Okay. And you went to grammar school there, and then you went to Central High School?
I did.
Okay.
And also, you left out Mitchell Nielsen in between.
That's right. I had forgotten about Mitchell Nielsen.
And Mr. Gilbert Sharon is the one who got me into the city school system. He was just absolutely a prince of a guy. One of the nicest people and one of the individuals who made an impact on my life. And he, of course, was a teacher. He was a coach. I met him in Little League Baseball. I think it was 1950-51. And got to play for him, and he talked Mom and Dad into letting me go to Mitchell Nielsen so I could go to school there and play basketball and football for him. And I never will forget what a great guy he was.
He was. And he was my principal in elementary school, as was yours, and mm-hmm. also my Little League baseball
coach. That's right.
You
were in the Mitchell Nielsen area.
That's right. Right across the street almost on the –
I still remember the first time that you were on my radio show, Butch. Do you remember who called you and talked to you?
I remember Mary Dudley did.
Mary Dudley Glass.
Yeah, sure did. Sure did.
She was in Memphis.
Yeah, somewhere around Memphis.
Yeah. That was pretty neat.
It was. Okay, so you went to Mitchell Nielsen, then you graduated from Central High School.
Yeah.
You played football at Central.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, did you play basketball?
I still hold the scars, yes.
Did you play basketball as well?
No, Mr. Pate would not let play basketball.
We got
to practice, and that's how we kept in shape, one of the ways. And then we were allowed to run steps up and down while the basketball players got to practice. So, we still got to participate a little bit. But I'll say that we go from another coach. We go from Gilbert Sharon to Coach Lee Pate, and there was another individual who made a great impact on my life. And you talking about both of them, you had discipline, and then you had structure, but you had guidelines from both of those coaches, and I can see it in you and how you have been able to operate your school, especially at Walter Hill. You had a lot of the same traits that both of them had, although I don't really believe you were as tough as Mr. Pate.
Well, probably wasn't as tough as Mr. Pate, but he was. And at the same time, he is one of, you're talking about those two principals that you had, but they both have a very high level of respect from Truman Jones.
Yes, they did. But I tell you what, Mr. Gilbert Sharon, was not a principal when I had him. He was a seventh grade teacher.
Oh, really?
He and Mabel Pittard was the eighth grade teacher. Back then, it was K through eight. Not K through eight. I'm sorry, one through eight. We didn't have kindergarten back then. But if you think of the type of teachers we had and what an influence they were on everything that we did. And, our high school teachers had one of those things where they were a major influence to us, but they weren't with us all the time.
Yeah.
You remember back in the grammar school, you had the same teacher through all of your subjects at that time. So, therefore, 8 hours a day or 7 hours or whatever it was, They were there with you.
You were the same person. All right, so what? So then from high school, you went where?
I went to MTSU.
Okay.
And then I was drafted.
Okay.
In the service. And
what year was that?
In January of 64 is when I went out. I got my draft notice almost the same day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Very close.
That was November 22nd of 63.
63, and then got out in 66. And I went to work for Greyhound. And I worked for Greyhound for a number of years in Nashville at the corner of 6th and Commerce. All the people that used to ride, there were a lot of people that would commute from Murfreesboro and in Smyrna from here into Nashville. And then they would work because they didn't have that many businesses in Rutherford County people could work. I mean, the jobs were very limited here. So that's where people went to Nashville. And I got to meet a number of people and still run into those that used to commute years ago, and we're talking about a long time ago.
But so what did you do at Greyhound?
I had to work up schedules for people from a book that was almost 6 inches high.
You mean like a driver's schedule?
It was a route schedule.
Okay.
And you had to follow the route. And I worked in the ticket office also, and that's a place that you can learn to be able to manage your temper quite a bit, because you have people who are missing schedules. There's not another bus running for a long time, and maybe some of the buses. See, you, back then you did not have reserved seats.
That's right.
So if you had 40 people show up for a 38-passenger bus, they couldn't go. And if it was just a couple of people, it was hard to reschedule. But I've seen, especially in the holiday season, I've seen 3 or 4 buses leave on the same schedule that was only meant for one.
Really?
And it was an interest. But one thing about it, working in there, I learned how to communicate, to relate to people. It was one of the more interesting educations I've ever had. And my daddy drove a Greyhound bus for 40 years. And I still run into people that used to ride with him. In fact, I still remember him driving over that old rickety bridge in Smyrna. I don't know if you remember it, but it was. I don't know how the bus got through that bridge. I mean, you just a couple of inches, and you could hear it literally creaking, straining. Like, oh man, I can't wait to get over this bridge. Now you've evaded me long enough.
No, I got another question too for
okay.
you. Really okay. And truly. All right, so then from Greyhound, you decided to go into law enforcement.
Yeah.
All right, and then you were patrolled for.
I patrolled for 2 years, and I was promoted to sergeant, and then in 76, chief deputy, and as chief deputy to 83, and then was sheriff from 83 to, 2010.
And you went in as sheriff after Craig died.
Yeah.
Right.
Robert Goodwin hired me, and then after he left office, then I was with Craig Snell, and then he died in 83. Then I became chief deputy in that. Actually, I was appointed, became sheriff. I was actually appointed sheriff in 83 by the county commission.
All right, now, people in law enforcement, and you see this all the time on mm-hmm. television, and I don't know, maybe it happens, maybe it
I
doesn't.
Know you've got a purpose for all
I
of
do,
this.
I do, I do. Okay, a person in law, all right, you're the sheriff, mm-hmm. okay? Now, you have, somebody has been convicted, and they've mm-hmm. been sentenced to jail time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get out.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought is, I'm going to get Truman Jones.
Mm-hmm. That's not unusual.
Does it happen often around here?
You get threats. You have things happen. I've been very fortunate that I've pretty much remained unscathed through all this time. But no, you never worry about it. I never worry about anything like that.
Did you ever believe that those threats were...
Yeah.
Very possible to be carried out.
Yeah, but you don't live your life that way.
Well,
you can't.
I understand that, but
if you lead your life worrying about something that's going to happen to you, you don't need to be in that business. You don't need to be there. You need to be totally focused on your job and what the responsibilities are. If you ever sway away from that, then you're lost. You just might as well give up the ghost.
How big was your staff in 83? Any idea?
Oh, gosh.
As compared to today's staff or when you left it?
I'm trying to remember. It seemed like we had 20-something people in 83, and when I left it was 400, somewhere around 400. But you think of the explosion of people coming into this community, especially from the time I started in the 70s to where it is now. You can't see the old Murfreesboro and the old Rutherford County hardly anymore.
No,
because the population has increased so much. It's just unreal. And none of us would have ever figured that a long time ago. Of course, you know, Nissan made a major impact
sure.
in here. But, of course, the growth of MTSU has made a major impact. And all the other businesses that have come in, I say this, Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, and we'll include Smyrna, Laverne, Eagleville in there, are extremely strong, not only as far as their business structure, but also the inner structure that includes the people here, the friendliness, the friendship. You don't find that hardly anywhere else. I've talked to people that have come from outside the state of Tennessee, from almost all parts of the United States, and they will say that once they came here, this is a place they wanted to stay and wanted to live, because there's just something about the relationship with people here that you can't find anywhere else. And I can say that. I've been into a lot of places, and I have never seen that. Of course, you and I are a little bit different. We grew up here. It's
right.
just like everybody here is family to us. But we grew up in a different time when you could tell who was coming down the street a half a mile away because you knew the car.
That's right.
I mean, can you imagine being able to do that?
And if somebody asked you where a certain street was, you didn't have any trouble telling them because you knew where it was.
You know what's hard about working in this radio station is I've got a kid, Brian Barrett, and all he has to do is show a card, and I have to obey. I mean, I don't have a choice. And you know what he's
I'm
saying?
I'm power hungry.
No.
And he's telling us to take a break. Can you imagine that?
I thought we were having such a good time.
We've got to keep the lights on here, you know.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. You can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
The 35th Annual Bill Carey Golf Tournament, to benefit the American Diabetes Association and the MTAR Scholarship Fund, is being held again on June 6th at Indian Hills Golf Club. Players can win new clubs by Callaway, a cruise, or even $10,000. Golfers enjoy a great lunch and after party and will receive personalized souvenirs. The 35th Bill Carey Golf Tournament is presented by First Community Mortgage. Teams can register by calling 877-893-2242.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
Well, now, we're back again, Butcher.
Well, I've got to tell you this. I have said since you called me the other day that I wanted the people to know a little bit more about Truman Jones. And I was going to try to turn this thing around a little bit today. And I talked to one or two people, and they said, "You'll never be done." Well, it was done a little bit, and I appreciate it because I think that's, like I said, you have a lot of listeners and some that are new to the community and some that are not. But everybody doesn't know a lot. The good things and all, that, and certainly you talk about an icon, holy mackerel.
Let me
if
tell
you're
you
not a legend in this county, nobody else is.
Listen, I'm an average guy. That's all I am. I'm an average guy that had the blessing of working in a job that I absolutely loved. And
I did.
You try to do your best, just like you did.
And all these people we've talked about today are in the same boat, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're above me.
Well, probably.
But let's talk about another icon.
All right, go ahead.
Let's talk about Bud Glenn Mitchell. Now, let me tell you.
There is an icon.
One of our favorite people, and I'm not going to say who it was, told me one day. In fact, he asked me a question. He said, Truman, who is the best man in Rutherford County? Well, that's a leading question. You know, there's a lot of great people that live in Rutherford County. And he says, I'm not even going to let you answer that question. I'm going to tell you who it is. And he says, Bud Mitchell. He said, people do not realize how much he does for the community and how much he does for those that nobody ever hears about it. He's awake probably 20 hours a day, and 19 of those he's trying to do something for somebody else to make their lives better. And this is hard to believe, but he's having his 25th anniversary at Bud's Tire this week, and it doesn't seem possible. It's been going on since May the 14th, and it's going to go on through May the 19th. And if you are one of those people that have been touched by Bud Mitchell, you may need to make an appointment because there's so many out there.
That's true.
But you need to go out there and say thanks to Bud and Kay. I mean, my goodness, what a super nice people. I've been friends of Bud's ever since I was a little kid, and I've never had a better friend in my whole life than Bud Mitchell.
You know, most people, when they go somewhere like Bud's place, nobody really wants to sit down and wait.
No.
We just don't want to. We're all in a hurry.
Yeah.
But you can go out there and you can sit and you can wait. And it does not seem like it's a long period of time. But if you don't believe what you're saying about how much he helps people, mm-hmm. just go out there and sit for 30 minutes and listen to the conversations inside that building. Mm-hmm. And you'll know how much Bud Mitchell has done and Kay and their whole family have done for people, not only just in that area, but all across this county.
And I probably need to mention this, too. He's going to be on my show tomorrow, too. I had to had to hog tie him. I'm feeding him a little bit and giving him a little bit to drink while he's tied up. But he's going to be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And if anybody is listening that has been touched by him, like I said earlier, they need to call in and tell him that, because that's something that we're amiss about letting people know what we really think about them and how much they've meant to us. But you can't go through this life without somebody picking you up every once in a while and dusting you off and getting you back on the right track again. And of course, you know that probably better than most, because what you had to do with the kids when they have to go through all the turmoil and the trauma of going through school and all the pressures of trying to keep up. Of course, I remember when we went through school, it didn't seem like we had that much pressure.
We didn't think we did. We may have, but we didn't think we did. I don't know that. Well, I know. Yeah, I'll say there are some students who realize that, particularly the older they get, particularly when it's getting close to the end of the school year and whether or not they're going to pass this class or that class. You know, the anxiety and all gets built up. But the profession that I was in education is very similar to the profession that you were in law enforcement. You had the same things. The only difference was you were dealing more with adults, where I was dealing more with children. And I'd say probably dealing with the adults was a little bit more trying than dealing with the children. Yeah. I know it is. I know it was.
Sometimes. I mean, it could be difficult either way.
Well, you had good days and bad days.
Oh, yeah.
Good times and bad times. So, yeah.
If you were listening to Dr. Hugh Berriman, you talking about a bad day.
Yeah.
When that poor guy was shot by a group of Indians and then scalped. And then he lived through it and is still trying to get back to his fort. And he was shot again by a group of Indians. And then the troopers found him. And they thought he was dead, threw him in a little side room till they could have time to bury him. And then he comes back, and they see that he's alive. The guy lives to be way up in age. I think up in the 80s. Can you imagine that?
Jeez.
Now, you're talking about a bad day. But but you know, what's the old saying? That does not kill you makes you stronger.
Sure, sure.
And I think you had that attitude when you were in school as principal, didn't you?
If you don't have a bad day, you don't recognize the good ones.
That's right. You really don't. Now, here's a question. I know we're getting all close right to the end because Brian's staring
He's
at me.
He's got the sign up,
yeah,
I think.
But name me, is there one kid that stands out that he went through all kinds of stuff in the school system and really turned out in such a favorable way? And a lot of it, of course, would be with the teachers and you that had such a great influence in him. Is there one person that stands out, male or female or whatever?
I don't know that I could name just one person.
That would be hard, wouldn't it?
It would be hard because I think there have been so many that have gone through that had some hard times but overcame them and did well. There are those that didn't have hard times and did well, and I'm going to point to this one on my right. I'm very proud of what Brian Barrett has done. I'm proud to acknowledge that he went to school at Walter Hill. He's done very well and is, I think, well-known and well-respected throughout this community for the work he has done.
I'm going to say one nice thing about Brian. As you know, I don't like to say nice things about friends. I've always had that particular problem. He's got this wrap-up
show. I see that wrap-up
right
show thing on
there. Brian Barrett is one of the nicest, hardest working people and so loyal to this radio station and this community. People don't realize how much time he puts in here at WGNS. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think that we could function without him. I know I couldn't because I'm one of these people that's totally illiterate when it comes to technology. And I'm one of the few that is able to sit here and do my job and enjoy the communication and the companionship with my guest, and I don't have to worry about working the boards because most
That's
people
right.
do work the boards. And he comes in and does all that for me, and he really doesn't have to. I mean, they could put a lash at me and make me do it. I mean, they really could. But
it would
be a very difficult process, I can tell you that.
They could just make you record part of it and let the rest of it go.
Yeah, which probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Nah.
You got anything to say, Brian?
If you would put that in writing and address it to Bart and Scott Walker.
Just tell him to pull up podcast and he's got it on the air. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Butcher, it's always good to be
here. I've enjoyed it. We've reminisced some good times and... I'm glad to learn a little bit more about you. I didn't realize you were...
I lied.
I used to ride the Greyhound bus to Nashville in the morning with Edward McCreary.
Oh, really?
When I was in the 7th and 8th grade.
Uh-huh.
And we would go from there up to Church Street to the orthodontist and come back and catch it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times we had enough time to go to the LNC Tower and fool around downtown, but you wouldn't do that today.
The bus was the only way to travel.
It was a good way to travel, too.
And tomorrow we have, like I said earlier, we have Bud Mitchell coming on at 2 o'clock. So set your time, set your clocks, and make sure you're listening. See you tomorrow.